As the doors continued to open, we were able to make out perhaps 30 seculars who had gathered to watch. Several were planted facing the gate, all sharing the same awkward stance. After a while, I figured out that these were aiming spelecaptors at us, or holding up gee-jaws to send feeds to people far away. A small child sat on her father's shoulders, eating something. She was already bored and wriggling to be let down. He bent and twisted at the hips and insisted through clenched teeth that she watch, just for another minute. 8 children in identical clothes stood in a row, watched over by a lady. These must have come from one of the burgers' souvens. A desolate woman, looking as though she had survived a natural disaster that hadn't touched anyone else, walked slowly toward the gate, carrying a bundle that I suspected was a newborn infant. 6 men and women were gathered around something that smoked. This artifact was surrounded by a loose revetment of large, brightly colored boxes, on which some of them sat, the better to eat their enormous, drooling sandwiches. Half-forgotten, fluckish words came to me. Barbecue. Cooler. Cheeseburg. 1 man had planted himself in a disk of open space, or perhaps the others were just avoiding him, and was waving a banner on the end of a pole. The flag of the secular power. His posture was defiant, triumphant. Another man shouted into a device that made his voice louder, some sort of deolator, I guessed, who wanted us to join his ark. The first to enter were a man and woman dressed in the kinds of clothes that people wore extramuros to attend a wedding or make an important commercial transaction, and 3 children in miniature renditions of those clothes. The man was towing behind him a red wagon carrying a pot with a sapling growing out of it. Each of the children had a hand on the rim of the pot so that it wouldn't topple as the wagon's wheels felt their way over the cobbles. The woman, unencumbered, moved faster, but in a gait that looked all wrong, until I recollected that women extramuros wore shoes that made them walk so. She was smiling, but also wiping tears from her eyes. She headed straight for Grand Sœur Alma, whom she seemed to recognize, and began explaining that her father, who had died 3 years ago, had been a great supporter of the consent and liked to go in the day gate to attend lectures and read books. When he had died, his grandchildren had planted this tree, and now they hoped to see it transplanted to a suitable location on our grounds. Grand Sœur Alma said that that would be fine, provided it was of the 164. The burger lady assured Alma that, knowing our rules, they had gone to all sorts of trouble to make sure that this was so. Meanwhile, her husband was prowling around, taking pictures of this conversation with a gee-jaw. Seeing that we had not massacred the burger family or inserted probes into their orifices, a young assistant to the man with the sound amplification device came in and began to approach us one by one, handing us leaves with writing on them. Unfortunately, they were in kinograms, and so we could not read them. We had been warned that it was best to accept such things politely and claim we would read them later, not engage such persons in Tellenian dialogue. This man noticed the desolate woman. Guessing that she meant to leave her baby with us, he began trying to talk her out of it in slangy fluckish. She recoiled, then, understanding that she was probably safe, began cursing at him. 6 sewers moved forward to surround her. The deolator became furious and looked as if he might strike someone. I noticed Fra Degelos for the first time, watching this fellow closely and making eye contact with several burly fras who were moving closer to him. But then the man with the sound device chirped out a word that must have been the younger fellow's name. Having got his attention, he looked up at the sky for a moment. "The powers that be are watching, idiot," then glared at him. "Simmer down and keep handing out the all-important literature."